Blog Talk Radio.
Haven't been on the air in a while. A lot of stuff has been going on, but wanted to take the time to actually get a show out today. And tonight's going to be sports related. Haven't done a sports show in a minute. 2017, again, like I said, is almost over. And we're going to concentrate on Atlanta sports, as I am in Atlanta and an Atlanta sports fan. So the show tonight is what will happen in Atlanta sports over the next few weeks. This has been a notable year for Atlanta sports. The Atlanta Braves moved into a new baseball stadium, and we know that they're in a rebuilding year. But then all of a sudden, a few weeks ago, all of a sudden we're out of a GM because he's doing crazy stuff, and he was banned from baseball, and the president of the team got knocked out, and he's in some kind of smaller role or whatever. So kind of crazy what's going on with the Braves right now. The Atlanta United, we have a new franchise in Atlanta, a professional franchise, and they celebrated their first season with really exciting play. They sold out all of their games, going from Bobby Dodd to Mercedes-Benz, and they made the playoffs in their first year. They didn't win their playoff game, unfortunately, but we'll see what happens next year. The Bulldogs, UGA, almost went undefeated. Then they lost a game against Auburn. But then we won the SEC championship for the first time in forever, and we are in the college football playoff with a shot to win the national championship. The Atlanta Hawks, at the end of last season, made wholesale changes before the start of this season. And, yes, we have the worst record in baseball currently. We'll talk about that a little bit later. And, of course, the Atlanta Falcons. They're battling to defend their NFC championship. Definitely we'll talk about that. As they just played last night. And we'll talk about a little extra here and there. So tune in, listen in, call in. The number, of course, is 646-652-4479. Please share. Let people know if they want to listen to the show. Click on blogtalkradio.com/IMTM Worldwide Radio. The link is also on my Instagram page, IMTM Worldwide Radio. Make sure you start following. Haven't been pushing that page as much as I should be, but I'm starting to do it now. Let me actually go ahead and start off with the Hawks because watching NBA TV right now, they're talking about Magic Johnson and Isaiah Thomas. And some of the conversation in regards to the Atlanta Hawks right now, of course, revolves around Dennis Schroeder, our point guard currently, and leadership and playing four quarters and making your teammates better and all that kind of good stuff. One thing people kind of always kind of take note of when it comes to the point guard usually is size and stature and things of that nature. And I think about Isaiah Thomas was not all that big, but he dominated, right? And he didn't come off the court unless he was dead. You watch all the footage, all the games that he used to play, and he played hurt. And sometimes he played, like, broken leg hurt, but he was out there. He was leading his team, right? Magic Johnson, Jason Kidd, Steve Nash, John Stockton. I kind of made a post earlier online about some of those point guards in regards to making your team better. And that is the trait of any leading point guard in the NBA, that at a certain point you got to be able to make your teammates better all the time, and also, if need be able to take over and finish the game out to lead your team to victory. And especially that's true when you are the said best player on the team. Okay? Now, that being said, as far as the Atlanta Hawks go, of course, we're in the transition phase right now where we pretty much removed all the players that we had in our successful years over the last decade or so, and Dennis is the only one left for the most part, and now we are fully rebuilding. And we have our new players in. We have Notorian Prince that's in there now, and, of course, we got John Collins that now has grabbed a starting spot. So we can see the transition happening. And there's we can see that, you know, good things can happen. We'll see if they'll finish out. But there is the worry because Dennis is not a rookie anymore, right? He's 5 years in now, but there's still tendencies or traits or I don't know what you want to call them that revert back to his early days, right? And to the point where Bud is benching him. Now, we know what happened when Teague was fooling around and he got benched and put Dennis in there, right? This ain't the time for Dennis to be going through that because he's the quote-unquote man now, right? He's the reason that Teague became expendable, right? So it worries me that we continue to see these tendencies of either not making sound decisions on a regular basis or having the body language of not really caring that he's out there or not, especially when he makes a mistake. I was talking about that last year, right? Bonehead passes and things of that nature, and his head's all the way down to his shoelaces and stuff, shoulders all over the place. Don't like that when you're the leader of the team. You can't say that you're not the leader of the team when you're the point guard. You are the point person when you're the point guard, right? Now, that being said, also, it gets to where he has to learn, and people are going to be like, well, he just had like 10 assists a game for the last couple of games, da, 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 da. Technically, he should have that all the time because all the time that he does drive in and he doesn't dish out to the wide-open shooters that he has, again, he's going to drive, and a lot of layups he can make, but you have to have the awareness of sometimes that ball don't need to be trying to go up above your head. You know it's about to get blocked. You see what I'm saying? And the guys in the league now have scouted him so much now, he ain't getting fouled either. He's falling to the ground as usual, but he's not getting fouled. So at a certain point, either he has to make that decision and or coaches, they gotta curb it one way or the other because at the end of the day, you're still on the court every night. You see what I'm saying? So you got to play. So, and you are playing to win the game. I don't care what nobody says. You're playing to win the game, right? And also you're playing to attract the players that we're still going to need because guess what? We can't draft the whole team in the NBA draft next year, right? We still have to sign players. We have to keep some players, right? So we got rid of really good players, but we still have players on the court every night, right? And pride's going to come into this, right? And whether it be rotations or coaching or decisions as far as who gets to play the most minutes, can't control that. But once you're on the court, you can control it. 646-652-4479. So, one, I want to say big ups to the rookies right now that are playing and being productive. You know, Tyler got rewarded for his play. I don't care what anybody says. He's a good player for him being a rookie and, for the most part, making Moose expendable. John Collins, of course, is a world beater. He's going to keep taking lives all season. His minutes going to keep going up. He's going to keep learning, you know, post moves and things of that nature. Notice that boy don't take no three-point shots either. I hope he never takes a three-point shot in his career. I swear, he better not. Right? Taylor, so many players that really are being productive. They've been given a chance, and it's really exciting to see them. I'm glad to see Ersan still producing for us. I mean, I feel that was a good keep of a player, definitely. Deadman, when he comes back, he's proven that he's definitely, you know, worth it as far as that goes. So as far as the Hawks go, I feel that they're on the right track. I just want to see how things turn out. But I will also say this, and this will be my final thing about the Hawks. losing all your games is no guarantee that you're going to get what you need in the draft. And a lot of people will still say, you know, this year is going to be different as far as the draft and stuff. You can't, you know, put what happened in the past into play. But again, we've had several different people in charge, and in 40 years, none of them, you know what I'm saying? Because, again, we've only made the Eastern Conference Finals once. There's a problem with that scenario, right? So we can hope for the best, but I think Jamal Price on New Pack City Facebook page mentioned it. You know, it comes down to the homegrown talent, like a Torian Prince, you know, so like a John Collins, and at the end of the day, like a Dennis Schroeder, you know what I'm saying? We bet the farm on Dennis. He has to kind of come through, you know. Or Travis Schlenk is going to be looking at that kid from Oklahoma, Trace Young, who I watched tonight get like 22 assists tonight in 29 minutes, 26 points, and almost was not even playing hard, it seemed like. Anyway, that's the Atlanta Hawks. The Atlanta Falcons won their game against Tampa Bay by the skin of their teeth last night. 646-652-4479 is the number, by the way. And also the chat room is open if you're online listening to the show and you open up the portal for the chat. If you're too shy to call in, you can type in a note in there. Let me make sure there's nobody in there, by the way. I hadn't even looked over there yet. But there's a couple people listening. Appreciate that. But you can type in a note, and I will mention it on air. But the Atlanta Falcons are trying to win out to be able to assure themselves for sure, that they'll be in the playoffs by winning out, winning the division. Now, ESPN or whoever it was said if they lose one of these games, they'll still be in the playoffs. They just won't have home field advantage. Me, I say don't take the risk because you have enough teams ahead of you record-wise to where that one loss, for one reason or another, could not let you be in the playoffs. You see what I'm saying? Because what if it's kind of hard for – somebody's going to win out in our division these last couple of games, you know? So if the Falcons don't do it, are they in danger of? And also we're looking at the advantage of at least getting that home game. You see what happened last year of us only playing two games, right? Well, if we're going to have to play three, we definitely need to try to have home field, for sure. So I feel we need to win these last two games, and especially for the fact that how we won this game against Tampa by the skin of our teeth, and we really need to be able to beat, you know, Carolina, and we really need to be able to beat New Orleans, for sure. So a lot of people are looking at, you know, how Matt played that night. Yep, looking good. Was not good. But we ran the ball, you know, and we didn't even have Tevin. So, again, it's just a matter of can the Falcons get it all together and continue this streak that they have started now, right? And not really so similar to last year as far as their production, but they are winning. And they're figuring out how to win these games. You know, Matt Bryant kicked that field goal, right? You know, and at the end of the day, I feel the Falcons, if once they get to the playoffs, it just depends who are, you know, going to be ahead of them bracket-wise and whatnot. I feel the Falcons have a shot to defend the NFC again. But that's based off of can we get it together completely on offense, because even with us getting all those third downs, we got back to where we were converting third downs again, which was really good, but still the red zone. And at this point, I really am, they kind of called it out. You know, Coach Gruden, how many touchdowns does Julio not have over his career? And it's kind of shameful. It's kind of sad to have one of the most dominant wide receivers in football. You won't be able to say history, numbers-wise, at this point. But as far as his talent on the field, but he's not in the end zone. As much as Julio says, well, it doesn't matter whether or not he gets in the end zone or not, how many more games would the Falcons have won if the ball was going to him? Now, yes, we can always say he's quadruple-teamed all the time, but no, he isn't. And you know who is, though, who keeps getting the ball? Antonio Brown. I have a problem with that. So whether that's play calling or Matt, I don't know. You know, yes, sometimes, hey, even last night, Julio dropped a couple of balls last night. you know. But me, I'm like, anytime you're within 30 yards of the end zone and Julio doesn't even get looked at, that's an issue for me. So going forward, I think we need to concentrate on that just a little bit more. Now, last night, though, hey, Tampa Bay was D-ing up everybody. You know, Mike Smith was trying to get his little bit of revenge, whatever. You know, Brent Grimes is out there locking down folks and everything at 34 years old, as I mentioned last night. I think we should have kept him all these years, you know. But the running game, dominant defense, we're top 10. It won't be the defense that loses it this year. It has always been like that. For like our whole history, it's always been like, you know, we have a great offense, we can't stop nobody. We can stop some people, we can't score. Only a few times has all the aspects of the Falcons worked. And when it did, you see how far we got. You know, hey, we've been to 2 Super Bowls now. Yeah, you know. So I feel the Falcons have a shot, but we'll just have to kind of see at this point. Okay, so this is what I want to do. I want to take a short break, very short break, because I want to still talk about a couple of other Atlanta sports teams, give some people maybe a chance to call in. Thanks for those who are listening. I see a couple of people who've kind of chimed in a little bit as far as just letting me know they're online. Be sure to follow the Instagram page, as I mentioned, IMT Worldwide Radio. And, of course, the number to call in is 646-652-447. Now I'm going to take a quick break. I'm going to come right back. This is Chris, IMT Worldwide Radio. IMTN Worldwide Radio, and we're back. I told you it's going to be quick. That was actually Emperor's, a track by producer Chris Prism. I'm not sure why didn't get a good clear audio of that. I have to check on that later on tonight. And as I mentioned, I have been on the air in a minute, so I've been trying to kind of get back on track, so hopefully I can get that fixed. 646-652-4479, Atlanta Sports for 2017 is what we're talking about. As I also mentioned in the show notes, I'm probably going to do a few more shows. I'm not going to be able to get everything in tonight. I wanted to try at least touch all the teams as brief as I could within the time of this particular show. Let's see who's next. The UGA Bulldogs, UGA. So 2 years ago, we decided to make the move finally from Mark Richt. And I say that finally, like finally, kind of like Mr. Bengals, 15 years of just not really doing anything, finally deciding to hang it up over there. But anyway, so Mr. Kirby comes in the first year, you know, not spectacular. There's a lot of things that were going on. Didn't have the year most people probably would have hoped for, but it showed a lot of promise, okay? And then going into this year, right? And nobody, some teams, I mean, some did show or say, I should say, that UGA had definitely a chance to win their division this year. As far as going all the way to the SEC championship, maybe not. Now, a lot of that was precipitated on the fact that who we thought was going to be quarterback got hurt first game. And all of a sudden you had a freshman in there, Jake Fromm, right? I had no idea, didn't have any anticipation that we would be in the position of possibly winning the national championship with a freshman quarterback, right? All the great quarterbacks we've had in the past, you know, all the opportunities to get to the SEC championship, all the opportunities of winning the SEC championship, right? But it never happened. Here it is now with a freshman quarterback, and we're here on the verge. We're in the college football playoff. We won the SEC championship. You see what I'm saying? So I'm excited just on that end. I'm excited for the fact that, you know, the seniors had this chance to go out like that. I'm hoping that we don't let it go, though, because even though with the new coach and everything, we got freshman quarterback and don't know what we're going to do with Easton and all this kind of stuff, I'm pretty sure we're going to recruit, you know, very well at this point. But you know how our history has been. So to get this close and then not make it will be kind of messed up, right? And, again, that's the reason I did this show, because just thinking about all of our franchises up to this point and how many championships we kind of almost had or had a shot to get to if certain things happened, here we are again with another team in Georgia, you know, on the verge, but, you know, what's going to really happen? You know, first of all, they got to get past Oklahoma, of course, right? And then they're going to be playing either Alabama or Clemson, right? So we have a few weeks before we get to that point, but, you know, I'm just happy that UGA at least has the opportunity to do that. I have not mentioned the Atlanta Braves as of yet. So I mentioned them in the show opening. So with the Atlanta Braves opening up a new stadium, first of all, there were so many people who just hated the fact that it wasn't going to be in downtown Atlanta anymore. Just messed up the whole landscape, just the whole principle of they're the Atlanta Braves, not the Cobb County Braves. What in the world? The Marietta Braves, the Smyrna Braves? No, right? They're the Atlanta Braves. So that really was a contested issue for a minute. Then everybody looks at the stadium, like, oh, wow, this stadium is actually pretty nice. This is a great baseball park and da-da-da-da-da-da-da-da. But then everybody forgot that we were rebuilding. So we got Freddie, right? But everything else is going to be kind of pieced together for a minute, right? Now, the thing of it is, a lot of people forgot that how the Braves started last year, which was horrible until they, you know, fired Freddie Gonzalez finally. The second half of 2016 actually was pretty competitive. There were a few games of finishing the year at a 500 clip, right? So going into this 2017 season, they had an outside shot to where if things went right, they at least might, you know, finish 500. An outside chance of getting a wild card. And that's how the actual first half of the 2017 season went to an extent until Freddie got hurt. And once Freddie got hurt, the wheels kind of, you know, fell off and, you know, it was as bad as usual. Definitely had a chance to see some of the younger pitchers get a shot, but we saw some people regress, unfortunately. A lot of stuff happened last year. But at the end of the season, where decisions were going to be made again going into 2018 season, you know, and we're relying on our management to make, you know, sound decisions, we come to find out that our GM is doing all kind of crazy stuff on the side or inside, outside, whatever, and all of a sudden he's banned from baseball. Like, as soon as I saw that, I was just like, Atlanta. You know, and in this case, it really hurt because the Braves as a franchise has always been that solid, you know, team, you know, from top to bottom. But now here we are, got somebody banned from baseball. Like, there's just no way for anybody to say that's a good look, right? And you got the president of the team stepping down, you know, just all kind of just crazy stuff. We lost a lot of good players because of that, by the way, y'all. As far as the future goes, we lost a lot. We're going to feel it, okay? So we do have a new GM. And, again, we have players that, you know, are signed. We traded Matt Kemp back to the Dodgers for cash and all that kind of good stuff. But what are we going to do going into the future? Are we going to look at getting a veteran on the pitching staff side of things? Are we going to get that consistent 300 hitter? I hear Yelich in Miami is making considerations. He don't like how the team just got broken up just out of nowhere, right? I, you know, there was a story about, you know, he's making his considerations whether or not he's going to demand a trade at this point now. And the Braves could be in the running for him. I wouldn't mind seeing him in a Braves uniform. Silver slugger, he can field, he can play. I could see that happening. You know, somebody has to be in left field now that Matt's gone, right? So that is definitely a consideration. So I don't know what the Braves are going to do. We know Acuna is probably going to get to play now as well, now that Matt is gone. So that's another option. I forgot about him almost. We still need a catcher at the end of the day. And we need a bullpen, as usual. So there's a lot going on with the Braves that hopefully we can get those things fixed. I want to go back to Atlanta United in regards to, because I did mention them. I hadn't talked about them in detail yet. 646-652-4479. Again, I'll probably do another show because I wasn't able to mention everything that I wanted to with all the franchises, but I was able to touch all of them, though. When Arthur Blank said that he wanted to get a MLS franchise here, you know, some years ago, and he was going to have to, you know, build a stadium for everything, you know, it wasn't pie in the sky because it's Arthur Blank. You know, we just had to kind of wait and see how it was all going to pan out. Well, it panned out, and it panned out in a big way. I did not get a chance to go to any games, but I was able to watch them on TV. And even just starting out at Bobby Dodd, just with the fact that Bobby Dodd was packed full. And people had jerseys. They had chants. They had everything that you see from other franchises across the globe. Remember, soccer is a global sport. Right? So Arthur Blank did everything right with regards to marketing and the publicity and homegrown players and all this kind of stuff and bringing in good players from other teams and things of that nature. They did everything right. They did what you want a franchise to be able to do starting out. And they were very much rewarded. They went over to Mercedes-Benz and just have a great venue over there. They had a bomb season comparatively. They matched what Seattle did when they first came on board, basically. And with the play, you know, everything. Now, I think at the end of the day, they got gas at the end of the season, and it showed in that playoff game and whatnot. But going into next year, I feel that they have all the shots in the world to win the MLS Cup, right? So it is a franchise. It's a professional franchise in Atlanta. And y'all know me. I've been talking it for 20 years now. It's going to be the year that all of our Atlanta franchises win their championships. So, got to do my prediction as usual at the end of this year that the Atlanta Braves, the Atlanta Hawks, I'm not drinking, the Atlanta Falcons, Atlanta United, and UGA will win the championship in the same year. And it's very much possible because guess what? UGA could win national championship next year, right? The Atlanta Falcons could win the Super Bowl next year, right? Right? Could happen. The Atlanta Braves could win the World Series next year, right? Could happen. The Atlanta Hawks could win the NBA Finals next year. It could happen. So, if it happens, you heard it here first. So, one, I want to appreciate everybody who was able to listen to the show tonight. This was another impromptu show because I'm not able to get on like I used to. I am preparing, though, in 2018 to be much more regular. I have some help that I've hired on, so I'm kind of arranging things and all that kind of good stuff. So look out for new shows, sports, business, of course, a little on the entertainment side, talent, things of that nature. Shout out to Anna, who's actually taping right now in New York on the show Billions. And also the Ocon twins who are going to be coming over from London, England next year. If you want to see some of these people, go to my website, www.imtmworldwide.com. Visit my business page on Instagram, imtmworldwide is where you can find me. Of course, listen to the show, blogtalkradio.com/imtmworldwide. Listen to previous shows, and make sure you follow me on Instagram, imtmworldwideradio. Until next time, I will talk to y'all later. This is Chris, IMTN Worldwide Radio. Peace.
We'll be right back.